That's on recording.
We started Romans chapter 10, where we left off the other day. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to start at verse 13. I call this the fallback verse. When everything else fails, people fall back on this verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Apostle Paul, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, said this: how then shall they call upon him in whom not they have not believed? If you don't believe, you call in vain. If you don't believe, it's empty. If you don't believe, and he told us a couple of verses before, he said to believe in thine heart, it's void. It's why we have a generation today that claims they know Christ, but the Christ that they know is not the Christ of the Bible.
Right. Preacher, let's hear about it.
If we don't have the law and the prophets and believe them, how can you believe Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
Yeah, we have a generation that does not know doctrine. They don't know the prophets. I'm going to stop because there's obviously things more important than preaching, because some people are talking over the preacher. Some of the preacher's children are talking over the preacher. I said some preacher's children are talking over the preacher. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Let's pray. Felt a cold breeze on that, but that bothers me. It bothers me when adults do it. It bothers me when young people do it. There's an indifference to the preaching.
Right.
Father, I want to thank you for the Word of God. I want to thank you for the truth contained therein. Lord, if you do not prick hearts and deal with hearts and reveal Jesus Christ to us, it'll be in vain.
Yes.
We rely upon you to do that. We rely upon you to draw. We rely upon you to convict. And Lord God, it's you that give the increase. And I pray, Lord God, you take these things contained in the Scripture and minister to our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I say it's a fallback because when all else fails, we're in a generation today that's what they'll say. Well, that's what I did. That's what I did. But if you don't believe in your heart, what is your heart? It's that place inside of you where you speak. It's that place inside of you where you talk. A pastor friend of mine many years ago made this statement. It just rung true with me. He said, God gave you an English Bible to speak to you in your English-speaking heart. Because you dream in English, you speak in English, you think in English. If it's your second language, you may think in a different language, speak in a different language. But most of us here are English speakers. God gave us an English Bible to speak to us in our own language.
Yes.
So today, men take that and they try to pretend they're wise and smart, and they try to act like there's something that supersedes what God speaks to your heart with. And to be honest, it doesn't speak to my heart. There's other languages that don't speak to me. But God speaks to me in English. And when I pray to God in English. because it's what's in my heart. And I pray to him from the heart in the language that he understands, and God speaks to me in the language that I understand. And that's a faithful God to do that for us. That's a holy God to do that for us. He would give us a book that we can comprehend in our heart because God gave it to them. By the way, there are nations for many, many decades did not have, many centuries did not have a book called the Bible in their language.
Right. Yeah.
Yet God could find a way to speak to hearts. And he did that through the foolishness of preaching.
Yeah.
And he sent men to preach to them. And so he told us then in verse 14, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How do they hear of him? They hear of him in the law and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself told us that. 14 different times he speaks of the law and the prophets. They have them, but they won't believe them. You poll young people today. You poll middle-aged people today. You poll elderly people today. Sitting in churches their whole life, yet they have no clue what the law of God says. They believe the law of God is simply 10 commandments. They do not see the law of God. They do not see the prophets of God. They do not see Jesus Christ in prophecy. They think a prophecy conference is when you go and a slick-talking guy has a slide presentation with lots of flames and horses and unicorns and he shows timelines and he talks about 1,000 years with Christ and he talks about Revelation and then Thursday, the big culmination, that war with the dragon. And boy, they just love the war with the dragon. That's prophecy to them. They don't see prophecy all points to Jesus Christ. They don't realize that he is the law and the prophets. He's the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He didn't come to destroy them. He came to fulfill them. And therefore, preaching reveals Jesus Christ. So then he says, for how shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
So God's given us the benefit of the ministry of the word of God in our language. And then God gives us preachers to preach to us so that we can understand, so that our ears can hear if they're circumcised to hear, and will receive the word of God. And when we receive the word of God, God can reveal Jesus Christ to us. And in our hearts, we'll believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In 1 John chapter 5, he said, whosoever believeth. What is belief? It's an absolute. Belief is not doubt. Belief is not skepticism. Belief is not maybe. Belief is not possibly. Belief is an absolute from the word of God. That's what belief is. Belief is when you see God, you see Jesus Christ, and with absolute knowledge of him, you say that's him, and you never change what you think about him. I said you never change. You may learn more about him. You may have more light about him, but you'll see him as the Son of God. It takes the Word of God to do that. It takes the Word of God to reveal him. You can't be saved unless you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it takes the Scripture to show you that indeed Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's an absolute. Therefore, we're in a generation today, they have a book, they call it a Bible, and it denies Christ, removes Christ, changes the deity of Christ, removes the blood of Christ, changes the words of Christ, and then they say, oh, the Holy Ghost moves in the services. Oh, the Holy Ghost works in these services. Oh, the Holy Ghost is moving in these services. We're seeing converts by the hundreds. But which Christ?
That's right.
Come on.
There are two. There were two sons. It's a bondman and a freedman. Are you listening? The one was the inheritor. Abraham said he was his only son.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, he said of him, he's his only begotten son. There is that man of sin. His spirit is in the world today. His spirit is convincing men they're okay.
Yes, sir.
His spirit is convincing men that what they have is good enough, what they have is enough. Why? Because they've done what they were told to do. But you know what God told you to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And listen, I'm doctrinally accurate. You can't believe unless you repent. Nay, except you repent at all, likewise. So therefore, somebody goes, well, I got to repent to believe. No, he told you to believe. Let me tell you, you won't believe until you repent. Until you're convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you'll never repent. Until you're convinced that Jesus Christ is the only way, you'll never repent. But when you see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, when you see that Jesus Christ is the only way, my friend, I believe with all my heart, as my son said, it won't be difficult to repent. It won't be hard to repent. You'll be on the altar for hours and hours trying to repent. No, when you see Jesus Christ high and lifted up and you make that conscious decision, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe the words that I'm hearing. I believe what the preacher is telling me. And Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Salvation will come. But until then, it's a work of man. It's a work of the flesh. It's what I have done. I did this. I did. You know what? Brother Bill Randall, many, many years ago, and I heard on a tape, I've heard some of his converts talking about that. He would talk about a bouquet. And he would start with a flower, and then they'd hear a message on repentance and then add that to their bouquet. Then they hear a message on belief and add that to their bouquet. They'd hear a message on holiness and then that, and they just continue to add and continue to add and continue to add. And it's all just a bouquet of flowers, is all it is, yet without faith. And they go, oh, that's what I did. And by the way, I've known some over the years. That's what's happened. That's what took place. That's what I've done. This is what happened. Oh, that, and they just go through their life. They just add to it and add. They go to the Mennonite church and they put a bottle on. They say, now I have a hair covering. Now I know I'm saved. They go to the Amish church. Now I've been sprinkled with water. Now I know I'm saved. They go to the Baptist church. Well, I got immersed. Now I know I'm saved. And they just add and add and add. And it's all just religion void of Christ because they do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he said, whosoever, by the way, that whosoever is whosoever. The problem is it's a choice. Did you know God has a will? God has a will. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So why don't men come to repentance? Because there's a problem that we have. We also have a will. And he may be willing, but we may not be willing. So a lot of people just want a fire escape. That's all they want. They want to make sure they're not going to hell. So what do? They go through the motions. They don't have to go to hell. There are people bound up in divorce problems, marriage problems, family problems, custody issues, addictions. So what do? They try to get free of that addiction. They try to get free, try to remove that burden, try to get rid of that thing that's plaguing them, try to get rid of that thing that's bothering them. That's what they try to do. So what do? They make a profession of faith. They repeat the words. They call upon the name of the Lord without faith. I'll give you one illustration. A man came up to me many years ago. I was in church with him when he said he got saved. He was coming to church for several weeks. He and his wife were going through some marriage problems. And as soon as she started coming to church, all of a sudden they started missing Sunday night. All of a sudden they missed Wednesday night. All of a sudden Sunday morning, didn't see him. Finally, just got to the point they were just gone, out of church completely. Now, that's usually pretty suspicious. I'll be honest with you. My wife and I went to a missions conference at that same church some 3-4 years later on. And he comes up to me and gained about 100 pounds. And
he tells me who he is, and I realized who he was. He said, "Bubba, I want you to know, I really got saved last year." I said, "Okay, well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, before, I just wanted my wife back." I said, "Well, at least you're honest about it. Most people aren't honest about it." Hey, stop if you ever heard this one, okay? "Lord, if you'll get me out of prison, amen, I'll live for you all of my life. Lord, if you put my marriage back together, I'll live for you all the days of my life. Lord, if you'll keep my children in the house and I don't have to lose custody, I'll love you all the days of my life."
Yeah,
right.
Right?
Right. He said, "Brother McVeigh, I realized how wicked I was. I realized how wrong I was." He said, "Last year I truly got saved. This year my wife got saved." He said, "We've been baptized, added to the church, asking God to save our children." Now, most people won't admit a thing like that. Most people will take what they find the first time, they'll run with it, live like the devil, go out there and live in sin, live a life of sin, never having truly come to repentance, but they'll name the name of Christ, they'll tell people they're saved. Somebody knocks on the door of the house, they'll come to them and say, "Well, I believe Jesus Christ," but they don't believe in their heart.
Right.
You know what they believe? They believe the manger scene.
Okay.
They believe the donkeys and the wise men. They believe those things. They believe Easter. They believe that tomb covered with lilies. They believe that. But they don't believe the Son of God.
Right.
He goes on and says on this wise in verse 1 of 1 John 5, "Whosoever believes that Jesus the Christ is," that's an absolute, that's based on your will. When you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're born of God. "And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." By the way, that's the first qualifier he gives.
Amen.
When you love him, you'll love his children.
Yes.
You've been begotten of God, you'll love others begotten of God.
Yeah, right.
Listen, you might have some falling outs here and there and some discrepancies here and there. And listen, you're carnal and fleshly, and boy, you get irritated and mad and bent out of shape and jealousy and envy and strife and variance. You could even be malicious towards them. But you better have a love for people. That is the evidence that God has saved you.
Sir.
His love. Why? Because his love is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly."
Thank you.
His love is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
How is it shed abroad? Because it's given unto us. And we shed his love abroad, those of us that believe that Jesus indeed is the Christ. It's why in John, you don't have to turn there, chapter 1, verse 13, he said, "Which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God."
Yes.
Being born of God. Birthed by the Word of God.
Yeah.
Birthed by the Spirit of God. Birthed by the faith of the operation of God. What does God do in that operation? He cuts away the deadness of the flesh. He cuts away the deadness of your life. He cuts away the sin of your life. He circumcises your heart. That's an operation. And he makes you a new creature in Christ.
Nice.
Resurrects you unto life. Gives you life in Christ. That's an operation. That is the operation of God. I can't mimic that. I can't pretend. I can't play. I can't fake it. Listen, I can try, but it's an operation of God. So what do we do at this point? We run back to a profession.
Yeah.
We run back. Bear with me to what I did.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes. Yes.
We run back to what I said. We run back to what I performed.
Yeah.
I used to hear this. Why don't you pray this? "Lord, I'm a really awful," and then just add adverbs. "Really awful, terrible, stinky, dirty, wretched, wicked, vile sinner." I hear people pray that. Now, don't you want to pray? And I'm like, well, what just happened to a good old-fashioned sinner? How many adverbs do you need to be a sinner? I mean, let's add some adverbs. I'm a clean, kind, loving, holy living, church-going, King James Bible-carrying sinner. Which of those sinners goes to hell? Somebody help me out. I think they both do. Until they've been born of God. Until they've had the new birth. Until the word of God has taken seed in their soul, and they no longer are subject to sin. They're no longer in bondage to sin. They're no longer slaves to sin. They've passed from death unto life, and they can have victory over sin. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through him. That's the new birth.
Amen.
But we're human. We can still fake that. A smile, kindness. You know, some of the nicest people I've ever known in this world have been lost people.
Right.
Some of the meanest people in this world I've ever known have been saved people.
Yeah. Right.
You say, well, how could you say that, Brother McVeigh? Because kindness and meanness is not a qualifier to be saved.
Yeah. Right.
He said to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So why did he tell you to be kind? Because you may not be. Somebody said, well, you started off the service kind of mean. Well, you can imagine if somebody says, Brother Rose is up here preaching, I'm over there jabbering away at my wife. I mean, that'd be a terrible thing. That'd be a shameful thing. Doesn't mean I'm saved or I'm lost. Just you say, that's not a kind thing. They that sin rebuke before all that others may fear.
Yes.
That's the word of God said.
Right.
Now, for all you folks that like to do these kind of things, he also told us to rebuke not an elder, but by the mouth of two or three witnesses. So what you got to do is go sow discord with some other people to get a couple witnesses. Then you go rebuke the elder. Amen. And by the way, I recommend you doing it before all.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, listen, if you're going to rebuke that man of God, these preachers, you're going to rebuke them, do it in front of everybody. You know why? Then we can all see what you really are.
Yeah.
I said, because then we can all see what you really are.
Yes.
Well, I went and found two witnesses. And Brother Rose preached about that nose hair. And I don't see that in the Bible. No, but you see it on your nose. Amen.
Yeah.
You say, I don't like that kind of preaching. Can I tell you, Stephen? I preached the other night. Stephen says to me, he said, you know, Brother McVeigh, I used to think that kind of preaching you did. He goes, I used to think that doesn't really help people. Because then one day I realized, boy, it's really pricking people.
Yeah.
He said, I came to the realization, he goes, you're probably saying stuff, all kinds of stuff. And he goes, things are just starting to prick people.
Right there.
You know what brought him to that realization? Salvation.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I said, salvation brought him to that realization.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't like that kind of preaching. Brother Rose preached on the home this morning. I told him at lunch, I'm not making light of it. Brother Rose, you know, you're my friend. When I pick on you from the pulpit, it's only because I feel inferior to you, so I got to make myself look better. Okay, that's why people do that stuff. Amen. He's tremendous. He's a tremendous preacher. Listen, I'll give roses while they're living.
Amen.
He's a tremendous preacher.
Yes.
I thank God for it.
That's right.
I've tried to help that man. You listen, I've tried to help him. You say, evangelists don't help each other. Spirit-filled evangelists help each other.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen. They won't cut each other to shreds.
Right.
And man called me and said, so-and-so said this about you. I said, that's because he's an evangelist. Amen. I said, spirit-filled people, you don't have to worry about that. I told Brother Rose, I said, brother, I said, I thought I was listening to Ron Williams preach on the home this morning. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
All those big words. The eloquence. And I said, boy, that's like Ron Williams. Now listen, he said a lot of the same things Ron Williams has said for years.
Yeah.
It's just Brother Ron Williams with a distinctive tongue and an ulterior narrative.
Yeah.
has certainly discombobulated the authority of the situation with the familial hope. Amen, brother. Amen. It didn't bother me. You know what happens with people? They sit there and they look for fault so that they don't have to listen.
Yes.
I said, they don't have to listen. And then listen, I'm a person. I'm just telling you because I'm a preacher. And there's times I'm going, who's this guy? And about 20 minutes into the message, I'm going, oh, you're an idiot, Tim McVeigh. You are such a godless moron. That's God's man. Did that ever happen to anybody here?
Amen.
Just be honest about it.
Right.
Amen. He doesn't know a thing. And then he's cutting you to pieces. And you're like, man, this is just carnal preaching. That's all this is. Amen. He's telling you how you live. This guy, boy, what a jerk he is. And you get down the message, you're going, man, that hurt. I know, I'll find fault with his children. I'll find fault with his wife. It's because God has manifested himself in the preaching for you. Especially when you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't know how many times I've stood in a congregation like this and I preach on courtship, waiting for a godly spouse, waiting for God's mind, knowing the will of God, trusting your parents, trusting your pastor. And I've had young people walk out of services within weeks, within months, run off with some slack-jawed yoke and completely destroy themselves because they missed God's will.
Amen.
Yes.
I said, I don't know how many times I've listened to preachers preach. I've seen a man of God stop in the pulpit and look out there and said, I'm talking about a man who could have had no idea, a complete visitor from out of town, two states away. He said, young lady, whatever you're scheming in your heart, if God doesn't stop you, you're going to destroy your life. By the way, that same thing, young lady texted my wife and I about 3 months ago and said, pray for us. Me and my husband are separating. We're getting a divorce. You know why that preacher said that? She was looking off in that far country.
Yeah.
She was looking at a lost man, godless and wicked. And she left that service with her heart to take that man. She went and joined herself unto that man in fornication. He married her. She bore children. 11 years later, she told my wife and I really wish I had listened to what people were telling me. We okay on that? We all got family, friends. If you've been to church any amount of time, there's names that come to your mind. Did they all not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? No, I wouldn't say that for anything. But most of them live so carnal, with carnal impulses. They just do whatever they want carnally because they never believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. No concern for the will of God. No concern for what God wants. No concern for a life in Christ. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, I'll just stop there. It'll bother people though. You preach that next part. And keep his commandments.
Yeah.
You love God when you keep his commandments.
Yeah.
If you keep his commandments, you've got to know his commandments. Keep his commandments, you've got to believe his commandments.
Right.
I said, you've got to believe his commandments.
Right.
We're doing okay on that?
Yeah.
Can I just throw this out there? Wine is still a mocker. Strong drink is still raging.
Yeah.
That's not a commandment.
Yeah. Right.
That's a precept. So go ahead, it's not a commandment. Go get drunk tonight. Puke in your hair, that's all right. He said you'll spew in your glory. Go ahead and let your eyes find perverse women. Let wine mock you. Why not? That's not a commandment. Jesus turned the water into wine. Well, go get drunk tonight then if you believe that. It's a mocker. Strong drink is raging. So listen to what he said. What's the opposite of being wise? Somebody help me out. A fool. Whosoever is deceived not by thereby is not wise.
Amen.
You say, why do you say stuff like that? Because you just never know. I said, you just never know. And this is what they say. When we vote, I've had them say this. You think that God really forbids me to go drink a beer when Jesus turned the water into wine? And I'm going, there's a big difference between beer and wine. Explain to me. And they go, well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. I'm like, no, beer was invented for baseball games. They'll say this. Well, you know, the Baptist preachers in Western Pennsylvania, they supported the whiskey rebellion. And I said, yeah, they were supporting going against the government because George Washington was overstepping his bounds in Western Pennsylvania, and they were supporting the farmers that lived there. But do you realize a lot of that whiskey was medicinal? I'm telling you the truth now. It was medicinal. A lot of it got drunk, too. I'm not going to be confused about that. You said, why did the Baptist preachers support that? Because the government was overstepping their bounds.
Yeah.
Of course, they're a bunch of drunkards, a bunch of tankers. Well, that's where we are now with medical marijuana, legal marijuana. It's where we are today. It's the exact same thing.
Right.
Preachers, the herb of the earth. I'm like, go smoke poison ivy then. It's the herb of the earth. It makes me feel so much better. Well, a lot of things make me feel better. But I don't do it. People just don't believe in Jesus Christ. You say, that's not a commandment. He doesn't say, thou shalt not smoke marijuana. Well, go ahead then. He doesn't say it in the Bible clearly. Go ahead then. But listen, make sure you don't cross any of the precepts or break any of the commandments while you're doing it.
How about that? There it is.
Just make sure you don't.
Right.
Just like the whole wine bit. Preacher, I feel like I'm at the point of death. Do you think God would let me have some strong drink? Well, just don't violate any other laws. Don't look at a strange woman. Amen and amen on that.
Amen.
You say, Brother McVeigh, you condone an alcohol? No, I'm trying to show you how foolish people think because they're lost.
Yeah. Right.
I said, I'm trying to show you how foolish people think because they're lost. Or they're mimicking a lost person by being carnal. To be carnally minded is death. That's never an excuse. People say, you know, preacher, I'm just carnal today. He said, you're an enemy of God. Preacher, I'm just fleshly today. No, that's okay. Be wrong. Be out of sorts with God. Jesus Christ condemned sin in the flesh. It's not an occasion. It's not an excuse. But you know why people say that? Well, a lot of them just never been born of God.
Right.
They do what they want to do.
Amen.
Now, let me use another example. I'm gonna go back to an old preacher friend. Here, oh, this is wonderful. Talking about tobacco. I was in Philadelphia. Preacher said, people say, show me tobacco in the Bible. He said, well, everything, give thanks. He says, every time you crack that pack, you pull out that smoke, he says, this is what you do. Father, I want to thank you for this fine cigarette. I want to thank you for my yellow teeth. I want to thank you for my bad breath and my nagging cough. And I want to thank you for my lung cancer.
Yeah.
Bible. Down south, they're saying this. It's a sin to smoke. It's a sin to burn up something. Taste this good. Amen. I want to thank you for this cyst in my lip. Doesn't God do some things just to kind of show us?
Right.
Doesn't he just do some things to kind of help us?
Right.
Doesn't God just teach us some things? You say, well, preacher, it's not in the Bible. We're in a generation of rebels.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Young man asked me in Michigan. I probably talked about this last year. Coming to complain. He said, Daddy, sit up in the gym. They let the girls wear shorts right past the knees, like loose shorts, but us guys got to wear pants. He said, Dad, why is that? 18-year-old boy. First, I wanted to smack him around for being whiny, but I didn't do that. He ruined my son. I couldn't do that. And I just bluntly said, nobody wants to see your legs, boy. That's why. He like gets mad, storms out, walks off. But you know what God showed me through that? That's the tenor of this generation because they don't have Christ.
He's right.
They're sucking their thumbs because we can't do this and we can't do this. And my parents don't let me do this. And I never, you know why? Because they don't have enough God about them to realize their parents are trying to protect them.
Yes.
Right,
amen. Yeah.
They don't have enough God about them to realize their parents are looking out for them, their pastor's looking out for them, their evangelist is looking out for them. Because they've never had the new birth. They've never believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in their heart.
Right.
Now, I got a message I'm going to preach tonight. Matthew 16 and 16. Some of you are going, is that seriously the introduction? Well, why not? Just be thankful we only have one. Amen. I've preached messages with three introductions, never did get to a message. Guy asked me one time, he said, don't you have points in your message? I said, well, hopefully hundreds of them. They're called pricks. Amen. The problem is they want a point they can remember. Listen, I go to churches and they'll tell me what their pastor preached on Sunday. And I won't have a clue when they're done because they go, he preached on the promise. He preached on the protection. He preached on the prophecy. And his subpoints were the reality, the reunion. You know, I'm going, that's not doctrine. What is that? They remember the outline.
Yep.
I'm not worried about the outline. I'm worried about the pricks. I'm worried about that thing cutting you that you're going to take with you. I'm worried about the pricks of the Holy Ghost to cut you right where you need it. You'll take something with you out of the service and go home with it. Amen. And you can't get away from it because the Holy Ghost of God is not going to let you get away from it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. See, again, you know what carnal people do? They dismiss it. They dismiss it. Talk about all that stuff that doesn't matter. But what did you talk about? What did you talk about? I know how old people are. I'm sure young people are just as bad. We're just older versions of you, that's all. Amen.
Yeah.
Some are wiser versions, not all. What do you think about that? Well, I don't know. I never heard anybody say. I had a man recently, he told me a couple years ago, now he said, I have never heard anybody preach that. And I wasn't trying to be cocky, I wasn't trying to be arrogant. I just said, well, I did. He said, I've never even read that in the book. I said, well, I did. Amen. He said, This is true stuff. He said, I don't know anybody that believes that. There's another man sitting at the table with. They were rebuking me. There's another man sitting at the table. He just goes, I believe that.
Yeah.
He looks over at me and he goes, there's at least two of us that believe that. Amen. I'm preaching down in South Carolina and Ma Randall's in her 80s. And she came up to me and she goes, Brother McVeigh, I believe what you preached. I said, well, at least three of us believe that. Amen. Hey, I didn't have to have them on my side. I just needed the approval of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Nobody believes that. I do.
Yeah.
I've never preached something, I don't think, that I don't believe. I've never preached it. Listen, you can preach on conspiracies. And I love a good conspiracy. I mean, the more far out, the more I love it. Doesn't mean I believe it. I just like it. And I've heard people say this. We all know we didn't land on the moon. And I'll amen just to help them out. Amen, that's right. I'll shout them on. Amen. You know, he may be the only one that believes. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I preach what I believe. Amen. Now listen, we all know Paul McCartney died in 66 in a car accident. That was a replacement in the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
I believe Adolf Hitler is still alive in Brazil. Amen. Jeffrey Epstein killed him. I mean, you know, we preach what we believe. But when it's here,
I don't know about that.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Thanks for seeing my preacher. Why don't you come finish the message? I don't know, preacher. Never seen that before.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get some. You know what helped you see it?
Read it.
I've been saved 25 years. I've read the Bible. I don't want to say 100 times. I'd be pretty bold. There's some chapters I've read 100. That's some books I've read over 100 times. And listen, every once in a while I'm reading the Bible and I'll go, "When did you put that in?"
Oh, yeah.
Unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
I was reading over there the other day, Brother Rose mentioned this morning about the mercy. It was a mercy and truth met.
Yeah.
And I was reading over there today, looking down through that scripture, just real quick, kind of glancing at it, over there in Psalm 89. And he said, "I will give him the sure mercies of David." Now, you don't have to get on board with this if you don't want to. And I just said, that's Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's prophetic. You know when he gave him the sure mercies of David? At Calvary.
Amen.
Because that's where they met with truth.
Yes.
It was on the cross that they met. It was a cross that reconciled them. It was on the cross. And I sat there and I said, my soul, I said, glory to God. That's Calvary. That's the cross. That's Christ.
Good.
Amen.
I was sitting in my study. Some of you have been to my study. Some of you sat in my study. A lot of you have. It's in the corner of my living room. Bubby gets in. He goes, "My chair." I'm like, "Yeah, my chair." He goes, "My chair." And I grab him and throw him as hard as I can. And he goes back, "My chair." I said, "My chair." Amen. That's my study. I got you. Amen. So you study a recliner? Well, yeah, it helps meditation afterwards. I'm sitting there in my study. Wasn't meditating, though. Not yet. Amen.
Yeah,
and I was looking over at Psalm 22 when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my Lord? You want to get on board with this. And I said, when he said, Eli, lema sabachthani, I wish to be interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the psalmist said, why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Listen, I've been saved 25 years. Some of you probably got this in first grade, but I missed it. That was the cry from the heart.
Right. Sir.
That was the heart of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When Hannah prayed before God, and she prayed, only her lips moved, she'd make a sound, her lips moved. The word of God says she spake from her heart. And then the Holy Ghost told us exactly what she prayed because her lips never moved. Nobody ever heard what she said. But the Holy Ghost spake to the holy man of God and penned down exactly what Hannah said in her heart, promising that man child. He revealed the heart of Hannah. And I realized that's the heart of Jesus Christ in prayer. With his lips, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And his heart said, why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?
Amen.
Yeah. Good.
Now, you don't have to go and vote that if you don't want to. But I'll go to the grave believing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because I was sitting in that secret place with the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Revealed that to me.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know why he did that? Because I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior.
Yes, sir.
We have the same spirit of faith. I believe, therefore have I spoken. What is that same spirit of faith? It's the same spirit of faith that delivered Jesus Christ in Psalm 116. Kept his feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the
Lord.
Amen.
I believe God.
Amen.
I believe the words of God.
Now listen, you say, did you learn that in Bible college? No. Did Jimmy Strong teach that to you? Dr. Henry didn't teach it. Dr. Hiles didn't teach it. Dr. Sexton didn't teach it. And he let Dr. Cloud teach it. Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What's he taught you?
Right.
Amen.
It's good.
Well, you've been in that secret place, believe that Jesus Christ is, and he's a rewarder of them diligently seeking.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
God revealed himself in the scriptures.
Amen. Yeah.
You say, well, you're a preacher. That has nothing to do with it.
Right. Amen. Right.
Amen. I believe, therefore have I spoken. That has nothing to do with being a preacher.
Right.
That has to do with being a saint of God. That has to do with being a child of God.
Yeah.
He'll reveal himself to his children.
Yes. Yeah.
He'll reveal himself to those that love him.
Right.
Those that believe it. And can I say this? It's reserved for them. Well, you get those Protestant writers. You get the Protestant commentaries and writers and books and they're writing, you go, well, they didn't see this. And they didn't see this. And they didn't see this. Now listen to the preacher. Don't be distracted. People fall out, they fall asleep all the time. The preacher is okay. At least it's not you, this one, round four. Thank God.
Right.
Yeah. We have trouble. That's why we have one story church.
Yeah.
Especially the big church. Amen. We have three story church, dead people have you in problem. We're dogs, like Revelation. Thoughts, and answer the heart.
Yeah.
And I say to you, God will also reveal his thoughts, his intents, his heart.
Exactly.
Through the word of God, too.
Right.
Yes,
sir.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why he has to break our will.
Right.
God doesn't force us, but he breaks us.
Yes.
He'll put us in a place we have to make a choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He'll reveal his thoughts, intents, his heart to us, showing us the thoughts, intents, of our heart. You want to find out that our heart so often.
Yes.
He that cometh to God, must.
Amen.
Must believe that he is. And he's reward. What's the reward? What more do you need? It's him. It's him. It's the unsearchable riches of God. Oh, I thought it was heaven. No, it's him. It's him in this life.
That's right.
It's him in this world.
That's right.
It's him today.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm tired. I was tired last night. Wore out last night. I woke up at 7:15 this morning. That's what children like that. The first thing I said, I don't go, oh no, I can't believe I slept that late. Oh, I said, glory to God. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm in camp. I slept till 7:50. Never heard of such a thing. Wonderful.
Amen.
I laid there in my bed a lot. Now listen to me. I didn't meditate. I laid in my bed a while. I was spoiled. I got children. They make a big scene. They make a big fuss. I just laid there and prayed. And I said, Lord, thank you for revealing me and showing me things in prayer. Thank you for showing me
things where I've fallen short of you today, this week. He said to confess your faults one to another. Can I tell you? It's a hard thing for most people to do. And the most sad thing about that is everybody sees your faults anyway.
Yeah.
But we don't confess them. You know, I have this perception of me. Okay? And I just see myself as one of the nicest guys in the world.
And I know you all see that too. Mr. Lovecakes. Hey, Mr. Sweet Pie. I mean, I don't know why people don't see that. No, I'm not an idiot. I'm not an idiot.
But if I die daily, imagine how bad it would be. If I walk in the Spirit, imagine how bad it would be. Hey, man, let's run that out there, food for thought.
That's right.
Because God is faithful. He'll take the Word of God. He'll show me.
Amen.
In the Scriptures. I can't say that. Because I can't say that. Because He's faithful to reveal Himself to those that believe on His name.
Let me run through these Scriptures real fast. It'll be really, really quick, I promise. And then we'll start the message.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad I got one supporter. Thank you, Brother Abraham. Man gives you a free haircut. You know, he's a supporter. Do you want me to advertise this or not, brother?
I mean,
okay. Brother Abraham gave me this haircut. If you're interested, see him. And it's a tremendous haircut. I hope that's a blessing. Amen. But let me just say this. If you don't like my haircut, it was Abraham that gave it to me. So just throwing that out. Amen. That's the danger of giving away free haircuts. You get free advertising. I've had some haircuts that God forbid I advertise because people would not be happy about them. But Abraham gave me that. Thank you, brother, for the haircut. The book of Matthew, Jesus Christ, of course, is always in discussion. Jesus Christ is always preaching because he's the greatest of all preachers. He's the Son of God. Jesus Christ is holy. He's always been holy. He always will be holy. And he knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And this is what he said in our text, Matthew 16, 16. Simon Peter answered him and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. How did you see Christ? Because of man or because of God? I sat at McDonald's, I guess it's been 4 years ago. Sat at McDonald's. A man said he'd been saved for 40 years, wrestling with doubt. And everybody under the sun is telling him, you're okay, brother. Listen, it's just the devil trying to trick you. And one man said, I was there when you got saved, brother. I know you're saved. And I mean, everybody's, I know you're saved. I know you're saved. And at the McDonald's, I looked him in the eyeballs and said, brother, are you saved or are you lost? He said, Brother Tim, I have no assurance. I'm lost. I talked to him about a month later. He said, Brother, everybody's telling me I'm saved. Are you listening? Everybody is telling me I'm saved. I said, well, you're saved, you're lost. He said, Brother, I'm lost. Probably a month and a half later, he said, Brother, I'm so confused. He said, I got this ailment, and physically, people tell me now it's my physical being. Oh, you're just confused because you got this physical pride. I'm just confused because you got this. He said, and Brother McVeigh, I'm just so confused. I said, Brother, you saved, you're lost.
Yeah.
He said, I'm lost. Listen to what people are saying.
Yeah.
You're saved. Yeah, I know you're saved. You're a good person. You got to be saved. Oh, I know you're saved. I believe he's saved. Oh, yeah, she's got to be saved. You know, it's amazing how everybody under my ministry that's ever made a profession, they got to be saved. We're in Maine, sitting in the parking lot of a thrift store. Liliana was sleeping in the car seat in the back. Rebecca was in there in the thrift store when a man called me. He simply said this, he said, Brother Tim, I'm settled.
Hey.
I'm settled. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to him.
Yeah.
But our Father which is in heaven.
Amen. That kind of work, yep.
I said, Brother, you satisfied? He said, Oh yes, I'm satisfied. He said, I know that I know. That I know.
Amen.
68 years old. Had a lady that had to leave because of an ailment. Ms. Sharon, she's with us. My wife and I have stayed in her home for years. We thank God for her. The Skultons live with her for a long time. She's precious to us all.
Yes,
can I be real crass saying this? There was not a time in my Christian life that I wasn't a skeptic. Not because I'm the righteous judge. Not because she wasn't a nice lady and so kind and loving. My children love her. My wife loves her. Mrs. Gearhart loves her. We had a love and an affection and a compassion and a caring for her. But too many times and too many nights, she'd sit there and pour her heart out to us. And you could see there's no faith, there's no faith, there's no faith. And back this July, we walked down the stairs on July 3rd, went into that kitchen. The tears are running down her face. And she just said, I got saved last night.
Amen.
16 years old, she professed Christ. A lot of people along the way told her she was saved. But then she ran into some people that wouldn't tell her she was saved.
That's right.
And she didn't settle till God told her. She didn't settle until God told her.
Yes.
Simon, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee.
That's right.
No, it was my Father which is in heaven.
Yes.
You know when I was satisfied? When I realized it was Jesus Christ in me that bore witness that I was a child of God.
Yes.
I couldn't deny him. He was precious to me.
Yes.
I wasn't confounded. A lady said to me, probably 2 years ago, she said, she named a particular church. She goes, you know, there's people in that church that, I mean, they're just so confused about salvation. And I stopped her. I said, because they're lost.
Yeah.
Do you think lost people aren't confused about salvation? You think lost people are not confounded about salvation? You think lost people understand the inward work of God that is acquainted with the new birth? I know one thing. Every saved person knows it's a miracle.
Yes.
Amen.
If you would, let's turn to the book of John. Let's go through quickly. John chapter 10. Verse 22, he says, as at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not.
Right.
The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not. Because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. They follow me.
Yes.
And he goes on, he says, my Father which gave me, I skipped a verse, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Yeah.
Chapter 11 and verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life.
Right.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he asked this question. Can I ask you the same question tonight? Believest thou this?
Yeah.
What does she answer? Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I believe but thou art the Christ. John chapter 4, one of the great stories of the Word of God, not a parable, but a great story of the Word of God. We understand the story of this woman of Samaria, her life, her manner. In verse 23 of John 4, he says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Yeah.
And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? In verse 39, many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did.
Yeah.
So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, amen, not because of thy saying,
right.
Not because of what you said. For we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Do men still have to convince you that he's Christ? Or do you just believe him? She heard him herself.
Yeah.
Can I just pause for just a moment? I'm glad I heard him.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank God for the preacher. Thank God for the preacher.
Yes.
Yeah.
In 1997, April the 20th, I was in my car all by myself, and I heard an unfamiliar voice. Now, I'm going to paraphrase slightly for the benefit of the scriptures. Because in justice and what it really was, it was a voice that said to me, Come unto me.
Yeah.
And I said, What's that voice? And I heard the voice again, stronger, stronger, and stronger. There was no man, there was no preacher, there was no person. But that voice said, Come. If any man will, come.
Yes.
And that voice began to speak to me. He said, Was it audible? It wasn't here. He spoke to me in English. He listened. Spoke to my heart. The invitation, the spirit of the bride said, Come.
Yep.
It took me a while to figure out who. It took me to figure out a little bit, figure out why. But then I realized it was the voice of God. And he had singled me out that day. He said, Come.
Amen.
And there was no man to give me assurance. There was no person standing by to rest my soul. By the time I hit Winchester, Virginia, I'd settled with Christ.
Amen.
Been born of God. Received the spirit of adoption. Spirit of faith. I knew him. Can I say this? I didn't know a lot. I've learned a few things since I've been saved. When I started going out of the house of God, and I'd sit in the house of God and I'd listen to the saints testify, not testimony,
right.
Testimony,
yeah.
What God had done, not what they had done.
Right.
And they would testify about the work of God anywhere to leave. My heart would leap for joy. And I'd rejoice. And I still remember on a Sunday night, I don't know what I said, I don't know what all transpired, but I remember sitting there listening to the testimonies, and something inside of me, very familiar to that voice I heard on the road coming up I-81, said, why don't you say something? And I got up with garbled lips and silliness and all the frailties of my flesh, and I gave God the glory for what he had done in me.
Amen.
Now, that was 25 years ago. It's just gotten worse.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
I said, it's just gotten worse. I can't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not putting on, making a show of the flesh. I was talking to my children the other night. Rebecca was down there feeding the children. I put them both in Sissy's bed. Bubby likes to beat on her and hit her with doll babies. And I have to hold him down. I was laying there kind of covering both of them. I said, hey, hush up. Now, you talk to your children how you want to. I started talking to my children. I said, hush up. Kind of like, get out of my chair. You talk to your children how you want to. Amen. Just be glad you don't have to live with me. They're both looking up at me. I said, children, I want to tell you what God did for your daddy. Lillian, like, oh, daddy. I said, hush up. God, and I began to tell her how God has saved my soul.
Amen.
Read a couple more verses. I'm done. I promise I'm not making this up. John chapter 20. Verse 26, after 8 days, again his disciples were within and Thomas without with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, said unto him, my Lord and my God. You know, that's one of those ones that, you know, I realize you all got this in kindergarten, but I'm slow. I came out of the Methodist church as a boy. All those pictures with Thomas poking his finger in Jesus' side and putting his finger in Jesus' hands. Boy, you talk about not in the scripture.
Yeah.
And again, I was sitting in my study one day. This is before children now. I had a nice study back then, amen. I had a nice big chair, a little table, and man, my pens weren't broken. And I'm sitting there reading that, and I went, Thomas never touched him. At the word of Jesus Christ, he said, my Lord and my God. And I went back to that road on I-81 coming north 25 years ago. And I said, my Lord and my God, I never reached out and touched his hand. He said, be faithless. Amen. Be not faithless, but believe it. And I believed God. I believed the word of God. And I didn't have to touch him. By faith I moved.
Yeah.
At the word of Jesus Christ, Thomas said, my Lord and my God.
Amen.
Just go ahead and find that somewhere else in the Bible where he touched him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about revelation of God. Amen. Amen. I didn't have to put my hand in his side. I believe the word of God.
Yes.
I didn't throw a fleece in my front yard. I just believe God.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 27. You're talking about an old heathen. It's a heathen. I'm going slow, just trying to be sensitive. I'm not stalling, not being lazy. I'm just trying to be sensitive. Trying to be real careful. Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. He came out of the graves after the resurrection, after his resurrection, and went to the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this man was the Son of God. What did they see? The cross.
Yeah.
Calvary. scripture fulfilled. He gave his spirit to the Father, but his soul to hell. The Holy One, his body, went to the grave. The earth bore witness of that. An old heathen man standing by. By the way, it says they. It says they, and I like that. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Now, I'm going to share something with you, and I'm done. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Is it recorded? Yes, it is. Is it Bible? Yes, it is. Why? Because they spake it by the Holy Ghost.
Yes, man.
Truly, this man is, was, the Son of God. First John chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And ask again, when did you receive the new birth? When were you born of God? When did you pass from death unto life? Now listen, I got a whole list. When did you come unto repentance? When did you believe in the only name of the only begotten Son of God? When did you say that Jesus Christ is Lord by the Holy Ghost? When did you pass from death unto life? When did you receive the Spirit of truth? When did you receive the Spirit of faith? When did you receive the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father? You can't separate any of it.
That's right.
It accompanies the new birth. And you know one of the most marvelous things that God does? God gives us faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God.
Yes.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto all good works. Now I've had some people balk at that. What? They get nervous about that. But listen, let's look at the English language for a minute. Let God speak to your heart. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It! What? Faith.
Yeah.
It's a gift of God.
Yeah.
Now listen, God gives faith to every repentant sinner.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you believe on his name? Repent. So simple, yet so hard.
Yeah.
So simple, yet so difficult. You got to come to the end of yourself. You got to agree with God about you. You got to realize what you are, who you are. And then you got to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. And like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. When he saw the Lord. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Again, I don't want to be redundant, but what's the reward? Him.
Yes.
Is there something better?
That's right.
Than him?
Nice.
To know him? To commune with him? To speak with him and him speak to me? To know that I'm heirs and joint heirs with Christ? I'm a son of God? Receive the spirit of adoption? Do you have that? Or do you have a profession? I'm not naive enough. There's some that never made a profession. That doesn't bother me. I'd rather just go ahead and get the real thing. I'd rather just go ahead and get Christ.
Yes.
As much as I'm standing here tonight, the Lord impressed me. Preach talked about not knowing, man of God, whatever God's laid on his heart. Preach, you have no idea the wrestling match I went through this afternoon, this evening. Let me tell you when I got settled, about 3 minutes before you called me up here. And the Lord said, just go ahead and preach on believing on Jesus Christ. Now, we were winging it tonight. I know you all knew that. It was pretty obvious. It wasn't like it wasn't hard to tell. We were just kind of winging it tonight. But what you have to reconcile is, did God speak to me? And what God said to me, is he true? Because let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
That's what you must reconcile. Pastor Harvey.
Bound out of the bones.